Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast. Facilities Committee Meeting. Complete recording. September 1, 2015.
We're going to get started now with the September Facilities Committee meeting. The first item on the agenda is roll call.
Stacey Hawkins.
Marcus Duggan. Marcus Duggan.
Julie Hayward.
Terry Russell.
Stephanie Gray.
Yeah.
And Brian Malloy is here as well.
I was going to talk about lights. Dr. Bobby asked, but I forgot about roll call and minutes.
Oh, okay. Then we have to do
yeah. Yeah,
so
I'll wait till the minutes.
We're also.
Yeah. I'm waiting for a few minutes.
Okay. We also have approval of minutes.
Move to approve.
Second.
Any changes or corrections?
Vote on the minutes.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, well, let's Ms. Russell do her thing now. First item on the agenda, bless you, is the Elkins Park asbestos abatement information. Dr. Bobby?
Yes, we budgeted for this project, and we started the project actually starting at the end of the summer, and you can see these all asbestos found through the hallway, and all the transport, all the storage area. It's about,
Excuse me, Dr. You said that lying somewhere on that floor is asbestos.
All that material is asbestos.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
The entire second floor is all asbestos, and actually it's our first floor asbestos too.
Okay, all right.
So our focus was the second floor. Now, when we started, a lot of these asbestos was loose, was deteriorating, and the project is started, we removed all that asbestos material, and the contractor did it, and we had a test. We had a lot of challenges. Removing asbestos was actually, because it's so old, was very easy to remove. But the problem we had, we had mastic, we glue under it, and we did find a lot of cracks and uneven throughout the whole second floor. The project was completed at the end of the August. You can see this is a picture of the second floor. I could get a finished floor on it. It was all done. This is a picture of the classrooms. We put a new design to it. It's all done. And the project was done really successfully again. We got it done on time and within budget. About too many people can say that.
And what was the budget?
The budget for that was $102,000. And at this time, we're going to the final close of the document to make sure everything was done. The project is completed, and actually our teachers.
And this was the entire second floor hallway, including all classrooms or specific classrooms?
It was, like we said, not one classroom didn't have asbestos and had the carpet there, but we did remove it maybe 6 or 7 years ago, but pretty much all the classrooms. Mm-hmm. And the storage area.
What's happening to
the
first floor?
First floor, about two years ago, I did remove the asbestos, just the hallway, but the classroom did still have asbestos material.
So
it's better condition than the second floor. So we move it after the second floor because asbestos is not removed.
Is there a plan? Is that in the 5-year plan?
Yes.
So yeah.
We're going to go back then. Again, one side of that. Open spark and a lot of asbestos. So there was areas that actually was loose and we had to get it done this year. But we do have asbestos in the boiler room, we have asbestos in all the elbows and the counterparts are asbestos. And we do have some asbestos wiring material. So we do have a lot of asbestos. Flashing. So this project is.
Dr. Bobby, is there any
health issues or hazards with the asbestos dating back to the first floor?
No. They're not viable, and they're in very good shape.
Any other board questions?
Kind of a related question, Ms. Hopkins. I know that, you know, this might come into the next presentation in terms of being a planner, but for PC in general, beyond the asbestos, what are we looking at in terms of the next big projects that need to be?
Before we let's stay on the subject of the asbestos, we get a question from the public.
Okay, that's on an else.
Any questions from the public, please?
And maybe your question may fit more into the basket.
Yeah, I can talk about that. Okay, let's move to the next agenda item, district-wide master
plan. Next item is a master planner, and we'll be the approval to hire a master planner. Master planner, again, is a team of the people, not just one person. So the purpose is to approve a master plan for the district-wide assessment. The scope of work, this is just some of the scope of work. There's a lot more in the RFP than that. So the building audit, which would be a building survey, we're looking for to hire. They hire somebody if they have in-house or outside consultant to do a structural mechanical electrical loop, fire, safety, ADA, hazard material, energy audit, and a lot more to add in, which is still put all in there. So that, having said that, if the firm didn't have the structural engineer, they have to go hire the structural engineer to come and study all our buildings, not just as far as everything that we have, including the new. We know what we have in the new one, but they still would be an ROI just to maybe they go faster on the new one versus the old one after spend a lot of time, like such as this building, high school, and I would get the report from not just the architect, I would get the report from the GAPO, the junior professional, electrical, roof consultant, fire, ADA, FMET. All that report would come in from all these firms to me. So that scope is just for building audit part of their scope of work. Then, again, they have to meet, gather information, have to meet all the come in and then do the higher citation, meet all the administration, principals, faculties, community, students, employees. That would be part of their scope of work to go out and talk to them about their concern or whatever they can gather. Building capacity study, there will be another area of program development study that we need to talk to our administrator and our principal concerning that. Study of the construction option and recommendation, and that will include the renovation, expansion, construction of a new facility. Those are all part of the study that we've been talking a lot about, you know, about the EP, about the Cedarbrook, about high school, about athletic fields. All that is part of their work to do. And workforce report analysis, that's another area that I'm really strongly recommend. And I put that in RFP to make sure that we do have enough people that they can do the job of all the buildings that we're building, that they're going to do that analysis. Preventive and predictive maintenance program, we do have a school do the work order process, but we really don't have a very good preventive maintenance. That they're going to put that the entire program for us together on the software and give it to us so we can, our guys can just go to the computer and start punching in what they do on that system. Cost estimate, the total project, budget analysis, they're going to review my budget, what I have, and what should be, or maybe it's too much or too little, whatever it is, and that would be another part of the work. Again, this is just part of their scope that I put together, but there's a lot more. It's over 18 pages of the bullets that they need to do. So, on Friday, August 14, 2015, the Prosecutor Service received 5 proposals. The proposal that we received from these are all architects that they've all been doing this type of work. Both the binders, which some of them were 150 pages, some of them 50 pages. and I've reviewed all those proposals and also I did the government review. And then I met with the KCBA architect. KCBA architect actually did the work for us for high school. I've been working with them for close to 2 years now. And they built all that stuff, all the steps and over the theater, the whole project. And I met with the project architect, and I went over the entire the proposal, line item, and compared to what I wrote to make sure we were on the same page. And they did respond, again, to all the line items that I put in my proposal. And the result, Dan Richard recommends the KCBA architect to complete the district-wide master plan for a total amount of $46,200. Also, as the project architect, the hauling up takes you to do this. Because you know, we have a project, I mean, Spark, and all of the modular buildings out there now. And they came back and said that the best we can do to finish this project would be sometime in January. And I'm back to bring them back a full report that, you know, what the finding was. And during this time, again, from today to the January, they're going to do a lot of gathering. I'll be very, very involved with the whole process and provide them with as much of the information I can to make it a little bit easier on them and also have to get a lot of information from them so I can consult. In this project, they probably, KCBA have their own structural engineer. They do all their ADA requirement of fire safety and all the architectural. They are hiring outside firms, such as Langham, they do environmental engineering, Schneider Hoffman, they're going to do, all the mechanical electrical for them. And they do have a civil engineer, I thought they said it was in house.
Any more questions?
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Barr, Bobby. I'm having trouble saying words. anyway, is it possible to have this done in a two-step process where they could report out an EP and the high school initially before getting to it, so we could maybe get a report sooner on those two buildings? I mean, that's my main concern from a structural and also from a financial perspective. Is that possible?
Yes, sir. Actually, we did talk about that, and also our athletic field and track. Our track is it's not safe. You know, we have left a lot of issues that we have to look at the years. We keep constantly trying to remove some of the damage area, but we did talk about our athletic field, the condition of the athletic field, the safety of our student playing there, and that would be sort of working on maybe those two topics first, and then we do have a lot of new buildings that they don't mind me about, so our current to do that. At the same time, they can work for the land maintenance. Again, this is not just one team. It's going to be a lot of different teams, but the focus on making sure that high school can be first.
Thank you.
And I know that we ask this question every single time, but it's just so striking, the discrepancy between the bids and how it is that someone could possibly bid this job for $46,000 because of those means it takes $166,000. And if there is a material, even if they satisfy the requirements of the RFP, is there some sort of material difference between the product that we would be getting at $46,000 and the product that we would be getting at $166,000? Because that's just really, I mean, such a wide discrepancy that it suggests that there's something meaningful between those two products.
The products that I gave them was RFP, and actually it was very simple. It's a line item to them. And during that period, from the time that RFP was went to them and advertised, they had a lot of questions. I sent all the answer all the questions that anybody had to everybody else. So everybody was on the same page, in my opinion. I can't say there's one somebody who's bid at 166 to 146. My information that I provided to them was everything was the same.
So that's what you provided to them, but what they gave you back.
They gave
right.
me back was the same. I reviewed the RFP, actually KCD, there's a little bitter on this job because they really explain it with a good paragraph in their RFP exactly what they're going to do. Everybody else that did that too, but KCD was not because of the money part of it, but they were a lot more clear the software that they're going to use. Everybody gave me the software, the WordPress software everybody used for preventing. There's a different software out there. KCD provided one too. I wasn't very familiar with the different kind of software that they had. KCD was very familiar with the school deal that we used, and also their software that they were going to be expanding to the other software that they had. So those are the on the design maintenance and all the rest of it. On the hiring consultant, so everybody was the same. It's all we have one consultant, some of them are going out there. I don't know why somebody would get 166 or somebody would get more than 166. But I'll provide the same information.
So if I may, Ms. Hawkins, I had an opportunity to read all of the proposals. It makes good reading. I guess, I don't know if I've set the standard where I read all of the proposals now and it's going to be expected. And to your point, I had the same question. Dr. Bobby and I had this conversation and I said, you know, I read these five proposals. Some them are extremely voluminous in nature. Some are three times larger than the one before. And I tried to go through line item based on what the original RFP I itemized and what their response to that itemized. So section 1A was a question. Section 1A in their report, they tried to answer that and it went down the list. And I have to say that I was surprised that there were similar language, but I guess the rates were vastly different in terms of ability to do the work for this amount versus that amount. So I don't have the same way with you, I'll just speak for myself, clarity on why it would cost 4 to 5 times more for that process. What I did find, and this is prior to Dr. Bobby and I speaking, because he just gave me the package and said, enjoy reading and come back to me after you're done and tell me your thoughts. So I went and I read through all of them and tried to highlight, circle, try to go back to the original proposal, what we asked for, how did they do that. Some were able to answer that in 3 to 4 pages. Others answer that in 30 to 40 pages. But I was struck by KCB's proposal and its precision and its laser focus on each and every single question and how they were going to address it. And I found myself at nighttime and over the weekend saying, you know, I'm not an architect. There are those in the field. However, I don't know why there's such a gap, but it appears to me that KCBA answered all the questions to my satisfaction. I'm like, I'm not an expert. So I scheduled a meeting with Dr. Bobby and I said, can you talk to me about what your thoughts are in terms of how you went through and how you itemized this list? And I was happy that in the conversation he goes, well, out of all the proposals, I think KCBA. And I'm like, oh, I do know what I'm just talking about. So I don't know if I can, I share your same sentiment. I don't know why TAC architects. When I go through a very beautifully well put together document, 180 pages, but it didn't seem to me that I was able to decipher with clarity some of the things that they were going to do based on the proposal there. So I don't know where the industry sits and whether or not there's a industry plus or minus variance that people walk into, but apparently in this case, if there is, this is a very large one across the board.
And also, we're going to get this through a bit of process. I'm used to it. Sometimes the bidders come in and look at that door, they look at our website and they know exactly how much money we budgeted for this. They look at that door, it's nobody's thing to bid. They change the numbers and they put it in there, it's a number, right at 2 o'clock door to bid. So it's a lot going on in our process. This wasn't the bid, this was the proposal.
And I just have one more quick question, if I might. Could you go up to the proceeding slide, please? And this was a point that I raised before, but I was interested in knowing how much redundancy there's going to be in certain of these items in terms of what we've already received, right? And so, again, the building audit was done by Gilbert Architects, right? The building capacity study, all that is in a report that we recently had. And so to repay someone to conduct extensive studies that we've already gotten. Now, I could see perhaps there's a need to update some of that, but that's vastly different than, you know, generating these voluminous reports again from scratch, because they were pretty thick when we received them the first time. And so some of this stuff is already done. Can we at least have some cost savings and time savings to the extent that there is, a more critical need with respect to certain things, that we cut out some of these superfluous
items? They knew about that. They knew that I was writing them to some of this study, and this is the numbers.
Okay.
So they knew that they were going to have a larger study, which is very old, very good anymore. We did a bunch of experiments. And we have a minor study, and we also have a Gilbert study, a lot of studies that we've done on traffic and stuff like that. So they knew that they were going to get all this. And
One of the other things, too, is reading through the proposals, and the question I had as well is the demographic enrollment study and the redundancy. Well, to your point, there seem to be some things that, though I have not been here, I have been privy to previous documents that speak to some of these, and wondering to what extent will each of these proposals start from scratch. Which it appeared to me that some individuals, this is my eyes, were starting from scratch in their proposal, as opposed to we've had some of that. Last year we did a demographic study. I've read through that study. But I also want to say that having gone through enrollment growth in demographic studies in my previous district, that there were a lot of outstanding questions I had when I read the district's 2014 demographic study and enrollment projections. And there were questions about the extent of, for me, how much township data did we actually collect in terms of potential housing to really inform that. And driving around the community as township officials were taking me around, and matter of fact, there was right on the corner of, I think, Ashbourne and Oak Lane Road, where I just moved to. Now it's coming back. There was this large piece of property. And I remember, hey, someone drove me into that property and said they're going to, it's slated for new homes. And they talked about the total number, and then I asked, well, the district just did a demographic study. I reviewed it. I don't remember seeing that property identified as a potential draw for students. And the response was, well, I don't think that was part of that. Well, I know the process it takes to for a property to be approved to say that these are housing. So I think it's been on the docket for quite some time. So there were some questions I had about how much information did the demographer have in 2014, and when, and I'm going to continue to look into that, when I realized that there may be a number of homes that were not identified as potential draws that might throw off our enrollment study. I don't know if it will or not. I just asked the question since I came from a district that we spent some time having that conversation, having that data. So there was conversation about to what extent are they going to use our existing enrollment data, glean from that any information that they can pull, and then any additional work that they want to do, or are we talking about from soup to nuts, starting a whole entire demographic study? And I don't believe that is my understanding of that. I hope that's not the case, because there'd be a tremendous amount of redundancy. I think we take the report, they're going to analyze and say, from our experience, we would have loved to have this additional piece of information. We might go get that, as opposed to, because if they had to do that, I don't think they can, any of these individuals can turn that around in between 4 and 6 months.
And the first, probably the first 2 weeks, though, would be just showing the information we're doing for 15, should be a lot of people. Another thing is, Casey on license planner, that they have a staff that are educational license planners, that that's what they do. So sometimes it's a lot easier if you have everything in-house versus somebody going to go hire the license planner and trying to do this, and they have to keep paying more. And that was some of the reasons we have a lot of people in-house in addition to the company.
Okay, Dr.
Lightstock,
do you have any questions? I just wanted to get clear on what the kind of work product is we should expect. Is it basically the findings from the audit with recommendations and some suggested timeline? I just want to be clear.
We will get the report from all those consultants. That will be part of this. We will get a banner for the maintenance program. We will get the entire project cost estimate and all the meetings that they're going to need and document and all the needs that out there we don't know. And look at the Opus Park building in detail and our high school and come up with a recommendation and what are they recommending for Opus Park, what are they recommending for Missoula, and how we're going to proceed with the EP project if we want to demolish it or if we want to renovate it, and how the whole thing's going to happen, and where the fuel's supposed to be. There's a lot of discussion going to happen, and all that you're going to get in document and binder. And we're going to come back here and present maybe once or twice, maybe three times, where the board has to go through the whole binder. Actually, Casey, yeah, they couldn't be here. They wanted to be here tonight, but they couldn't.
It's kind of
a
follow-up question is, once we get that, so for example, EP, they're going to provide kind of a cost-benefit analysis with respect to, there's 20 projects that need to be done at EP to bring it up to where it needs to be. So that would be renovation versus demolition and rebuild. Those will be presented as alternate recommendations or?
Well, they probably, I wish you could see it, in the RFP, which we just talked about, to do the audit, do the cost estimate, and tell us your recommendation and your finding. And that's pretty much what we're going to bring. And I said, this is what we need. We believe we should, the job that's what we should do.
And these will be projections, because I'm still looking at a master planner of, not just immediate needs, but kind of, strategic.
Yes.
That we're looking at, 5 years down the road, once we make this decision, what's going to be that kind of cascading impact?
That's why I've had that prevent and predictive maintenance. So here, for example, on the unit that we have, we just purchased a unit for Myers building. The Myers building is almost 7 years old, 8 years old. Those units are going to last about 60 years. So they're going to start studying and telling us, maybe 5 years from now, you should start budgeting to do
board work or to start replacing A, B, second, you know, C, and that's really part of the thing. So that's a big part of it.
I think that struck me as I was reading through this as well. To your point about the history here is that why we're here is there were some things that unfortunately for many reasons went unchecked to the point to where we are now. And now that we still have aging buildings that we need to address, we also are very proud of the new buildings that we have, and the newest one that we have. And part of what struck me about the preventive maintenance was the clarity in terms of even though we're going to prioritize buildings, specifically EP in the high school, and we just built this, the schedule allowed to say, you know, this is the lifeline of your building. This is the lifeline of some of the major areas of the building. Here's a calendar schedule of what our professional opinion is on how you need to continue to maintain this so that it has its useful shelf life, so that there are things that are not going unchecked for a longer period of time. Case in point, it's not because I'm a track and field fan, but it's because looking at the track, you can easily determine that there were deferred maintenance. Because I'm sure there's lots of reasons for it. And because of that, the quality of the track, the cost of it, will probably be a little bit higher because of the wear and tear, and maybe not that 5-year schedule that required you to do some daily maintenance or restructuring of how often people use the lanes, things of that nature.
Every 5 years, we have to resurface the track and line. That's a maintenance of the track. I know that I'm here, I'm getting closer to 8 years now, we didn't work. And I talked to Scott Lair, it was 5 or 6 years before me. The track was built, it wasn't best building track. Just talking about track. So those are the issues that they're going to come back and give us a recommendation.
Any other board questions? Any questions from the public? Yes.
David Keller, Robbins Park. A few questions. One is that I've heard anecdotally about Myers Elementary that some of the systems are not really, the staff does not know how to run them, notably HVAC elements. So I'm requesting to be a consideration, at least identifying the existing systems operations, and partly, besides in addition to how they're operating, does staff in fact know how to actually operate them correctly, which again leads to the long-term preventive maintenance and operating them well, and having a building which operates efficiently and effectively. Second point is, it was identified about the budget. My concern is that as part of the budget, it also looks at the broader ramifications, either as part of the study or outside the study, where it looks at the long-term impact on the operating budget, on the debt limit, on the impact to mills, and also under Act 1, and try to identify what is the impact as we go forward with the recommendations from the cost viewpoint of the budget. So in addition to looking and saying, well, these various elements cost this amount of money, what's the impact as it goes through the budget over a period of time? In terms of the high school and EP, I'd like there to be ideally several options recommended because each of those will have different cost-benefit impacts and different outcomes both to the facilities and to the school district and to the delivery of the education programs ultimately. There were a few other points that I wanted to raise, but I forget them now and I can get in touch later. But overall, I'm glad that this does appear to be rather broad and looking at various issues, and hopefully, again, it can be consideration of expanding it for areas that I raised to try to look at some of the broader term issues. The last point, I'm sorry, is that I've heard from other people in the community, based on looking at other school districts, and this will play into this, that the district might be understaffed in terms of staff to actually do the existing work. So if you're looking at doing more preventive maintenance work and more upkeep and more maintenance of buildings, then I think it might be worthwhile in the study or in some way looking at what would this take in terms of resources from staff and or outside consultants or contractors to actually do this work. So in addition to the cost to actually buy new systems or buy new equipment, also look at what we need in terms of manpower or human resource power to actually then implement the various elements. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Fred Milbert from Elton's Park. By the way, is the three questions. Is the administration building included in this?
Yes.
So one of the issues that we have, our little group has, is that you're attempting to have an architect talk about building issues, but it also may affect where you're moving the buildings to. For example, you're doing a real estate quote research. So how does that fit into your design?
This RFP is just, it was designed for all the building that we own. And that's...
Well, how are you going to do a cost benefit? Are you going to fix this building or move it?
The eight buildings that we have. And this RFP was just to review those. That's their scope of their work. It's not scope of their work to go and study somebody else's building.
But this is a master plan.
This would be plan. If there would be any issues or any planning, they would come back and I said, well, our vision would be maybe we should do something different than this. But I didn't focus my RFP to go out and trying to study other buildings somewhere else. But they're going to come back, they're going to study EP, they're going to study the high school, and we will have several options how we're going to get this work done, but that's what I'm going to say.
And if I may respond, that I'm not sure how we would facilitate that type of large search when we haven't actually identified a property. We would then send an individual saying, we're thinking about moving this. We have no idea where, but we want you to scan the community and find us all the feasible things where that could take place and give us a cost analysis of that. I think that it'd be more appropriate if we had some idea of where we wanted to go, as opposed to have them canvas every square footage. And now maybe we went through that process prior to I got here and we identified certain areas, but it was my understanding that part of that was we have seven infrastructures in this District 8. And we wanted to know, how do we better utilize that? How do we save costs? What are options can we have? And one of those might be, listen, it appears to me that this might not be where you want to be. But unless I need to do more homework, which I will, I don't know if we've identified as a board of administration a location, an ideal location where we'd like to be for what. I think the last thing I don't know if people wanted to revisit the grade configuration to say, you know what, let's go back and decide we're going to do a 5-8 building, and maybe that could be part of that. But it was my understanding that the RFP was for the existing buildings to see what that looked like for us. And if the recommendation comes back...
They need to go and they have 4 or 5 months to study. Back and tell us what the finding is. This time I cannot speak with the lady that said it.
So I'll just finish. I'm talking about district-wide master plan. To my way of thinking, that has to be part of, this township doesn't have that many locations where you can put buildings. I think David and I and a few of us could pick them out tonight. So I think that's a missing situation. And then you have Elkins Park is sitting right in front of you right now. And you've got issues there. And I think that I know you haven't prioritized it in your master plan, but I think for this board and for the community, a decision of what you're going to do with Elkins Park is absolutely essential. I think one of the board members mentioned, why couldn't you separate the looking at the high school and Elkins Park different from the preventive maintenance?
That would be the first project that I would
Well, so will that be reported to the board prior to the January date?
Yeah, I'll sit down and meet with him and give him all the document that I have, and he needs to do his work, and obviously do it with our focus, which is, I think it should be too, and then we will bring back.
Well, but I want to caution. I want to caution that because that'd be an incomplete analysis of the work. Part of this is a comprehensive look. We can bring you information for two data points, but it can't be no summary statement of what it looks like for the entire district. Yes, we can say it seems to us that you've been here longer than I. I've been here for 8 weeks. I've walked through Elkins Park, and I can clearly see that there needs to be some swift changes in terms of what direction we're going to go with. So are we going to move forward and ask for their laser focus on those areas? Will we be willing to share that? We can. But I think that we're going to have to say, well, in addition to those two, we need your reports for the other six to give us a whole big picture of what that looks like. But we're willing to come in and share our preliminary findings with those two particular buildings without making any analysis or summary statements about that.
But the way it really works is when they're here, when they're consulting here, they're going to spend like each team probably going to be 1 or 2 days, they're going to hit all the buildings. And if they're the mechanical, they're going to go after the mechanical, if they're electrical, they're going to go after the electrical. So they have a pretty good idea, you know, what's going to happen to the whole district. But I think the best would be to their focus would be those two buildings, and when they find some information, I'll be glad to share it.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the top?
Did
you see the little one?
Sure. So I just wanted to follow up on Fred's. I think Fred's kind of the important part of what he's saying is that you'll be good if part of master planning is to think outside of the boxes, right? To not just think about the boxes, but how they could be. So that whatever that information comes in can inform a larger and maybe, you know, outside of the specific structure that already exists. So that may not necessarily be in the scope of this initial auditing and analysis piece, but it should be in the scope of the board to take that forward and consider what other options there could be to, you know, reconsider elements. I mean, I don't know what it might be, what those choices are, but not be so limited by the box you already have. And just one last thing, not to follow up on your question and the questions about the difference in price for these things. I write RFPs and I respond to RFPs, and what I find most interesting about reading RFPs that are so disparate in their cost is what I learned by reading where the price differential is. Line item to line item, I often learn something about approach and about what I may not have thought about when I wrote that RFP. But somebody else looks at it and says, oh, civil, I see what you're saying. I'm going to put $20,000 on this. Somebody else looks at it and goes, civil for you guys? $60,000, have you looked at that bill? They may have some insight that we haven't thought about. And I don't know if you looked at it in that
you
way.
Did. Yeah, no, actually,
so
yeah.
I just to, you know, inform whatever other pieces that I need.
If you look at the architects here, KCBA is here. They know everything about us.
Right.
They study us, they work at the high school for 2 years, and all the architects, I never worked with them, they've never been here, they throw numbers at it, that's like you said.
Yeah.
They don't know the different civil work, they just throw the numbers at it, that's what they're comfortable with.
Right.
But KCB has spent a lot of time because they did work. That's why I think.
Right.
I couldn't find a whole lot of what you're saying, but I think their experience and being here and local people and going to school here,
right.
They know a lot about us.
Right. So maybe they're the ones that are higher priced and do an F1 mark.
Okay. Any other board questions?
Going back a long time ago when we were talking about the Seabrook option and what we were doing Seabrook, the concern I expressed at the time is that we need to have a long-term comprehensive plan. And I agree with the comments that this is a critical part of that, but it's not the end point. That I'm fine with the scope of work here being somewhat more limited. I'll be off the board in January. I really hope that when I'm out there in those chairs, the board has had that more comprehensive look at options. And maybe we stay in our same, you know, 8-1 plots of land that we have right now. Maybe they change. But my concern with the Cedar Brook decision-making process was I thought we needed to think outside the boxes longer, harder, and more intently. Mm-hmm. And so I do urge my colleagues to do that work in conjunction with this, or parallel afterwards, I don't know, but not to make any decisions until we've looked at other options. Time needs to be worked out, but I strongly urge that broader picture.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivations 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us and have a great day.